The show is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. And on today's program, coming up, we will be featuring live in our studio singer-songwriter, guitarist Keith Harden, who's going to be playing in our area three times at least this week. My calendar's just looking tonight, Thursday, and Friday in Rantoul, Champaign, and Urbana, respectively. Keith Harden making a homecoming, as he does every year, from his present home in Nashville. First part of our show will feature the Chorale, the ensemble directed by Julie Byler. They give an annual concert on New Year's Eve at the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign. They call it See You at the Virginia. And this year, the subtitle called A Folk Connection. We'll explain that connection very shortly, but the performers in this recording have much to do with it. Beautiful tune from a disc called Celtic Dialogue, featured first pianist Jacqueline Schwab and then fiddler Laura Risk. Tune called Through the Wood, Laddie, set by William McGibbon, and heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Laura Risk and Jacqueline Schwab will be among the guest performers with the Chorale, the choral ensemble based in Champaign-Urbana, who are giving their annual New Year's Eve concert. Well, obviously on New Year's Eve, which is Saturday, December the 31st, and at the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign. The Chorale is directed by Julie Byler, and she's with me now here on Live and Local to talk a little bit about the program. And the third of the people, of the guest artists who make up your subtitle for the program called A Folk Connection is one who's been with you many times on your concerts, Gene Redpath, wonderful folk singer from Scotland. How did you arrive at these three people for this particular concert this year?
I guess it's a ladies' night.
Well, it is, isn't it?
Out
yeah.
to be. Well, I met Gene in 2004 when I had asked her to come and appear on one of our concerts. I'd heard her first in the early 80s, not really knowing who she was, and was struck with her voice. It's just hauntingly beautiful, I think, and identifiable, much like the playing of these ladies. That CD, by the way, I should tell you, was named one of the top 10 CDs of the year in 1999. Mm. So at any rate, I met Jean, and she came and performed, and it was kind of friends at first sight sort of thing. We spend some time in her place in Scotland in the summers, and she comes. In fact, she's coming tomorrow, I guess, to be with us for a few months here in the winter time. And at one point, I said to Jean, she, as you have mentioned, has been with us before as well at the Virginia. And I said, well, I'd like you to bring one of your buddies along. and she suggested Jacqueline. And Jacqueline came actually a few years ago without Jean, with cellist Reinmar Seidler, who, and together they were a new rigged ship was the name of their duo. And so recently when we were at Jean's, I said, well, I think I'd like another one of your buddies to come. And so now I know Jean and Jacqueline, and we were looking for a fiddler. Really would have liked to have had Alistair Fraser, who turns out to be the teacher of this new fiddler that we're going to introduce on New Year's Eve. So Jacqueline suggested Laura Risk, who is a California-born, now based in Montreal, fiddler who has indeed studied with Alistair in Scotland. So Jean, I knew in the early 80s, she introduced me to Jacqueline, who introduced me to Laura, whom I have not yet met, but we'll see for the first time on the 28th when she arrives. So that's kind of a folk connection, if you ask me.
So are they doing some things by themselves and individually and then with the Chorale? Or
Never with the Chorale. Jean was very clear to point out to me early on that she did not perform with the group. However, since then, she has been on tour with us a couple of times in Scotland, her country, and Ireland, and we have done some Kayleys together. But officially, they will do solo spots, and they'll do together spots, and they'll do all three spots. And it's always an interesting evening because I never know exactly, and I'm not sure that they know exactly what's going to happen, who's performing with whom, although they will be in our house on the 29th and 30th, so I'll have a little bit of a clue as to what's going to happen. They're
assuming they tell you.
These musicians, well, they're practiced there, so I'll
get
to
hear.
Oh,
well, there you go.
These musicians are uncannily spontaneous, and we choral singers can't understand this. Because
we classical performers in general.
We get music way ahead of time, and we work on it. And they just, Gene, for instance, has some 600 songs in her head with all the lyrics. And they seem to be able to absorb themselves seamlessly into combinations of two or three or groups. And so the plan is I will introduce Jean, and then she'll take over from there, and they'll appear both in the first half of the program and the second half as soloists, as duos, and as threesomes.
So what happens will happen.
Will happen.
And it'll be, wonderfully spontaneous. Now, this, the thing I'm about to say is a little unfair because I read some of Jacqueline's bio before hearing the music that we just played. Mm-hmm. So I was already prejudiced, but I would be curious to ask our listeners, which of course I can't easily do, if they recognized the sound of her playing, the feel of her playing at all, because fans of public television in particular may well have without really knowing why.
Well, we can give them a clue.
We can give them a clue, and his name is Ken Burns.
It is. Ken Burns has said some magnificently wonderful things about Jacqueline, and she is virtually on all of his soundtracks, the Civil War, the National Park. In fact, part of this Celtic Dialogue CD that you just played is used as background for the National Park series. He says of her, Jacqueline Schwab brings more feeling and intensity to music than anyone I know. Her playing is insistent, physical, heartfelt, and unusually moving. And like you, once I figured out that's who Jacqueline was, when I hear or watch any of those series, you can just hear her in the background. Very distinctive. And yet it's different. She has such different styles. She can be rousing. She is, as I mentioned to you, an English country dance pianist and caller. Now, anybody who's watched a piano player for ballet or a dance class knows how intense that is and how rhythmically demanding. So she does that and calls the dances as well. We have an English country dance group here in Champaign-Urbana. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit like if you think of Pride and Prejudice and the majestic ballrooms and then take away the fancy outfits and take it to the country. And then when you bring it across the ocean and you move west, it becomes square dancing. So that's kind of the morphing of the English country dance. But there are a lot of reels and jigs and strathspeys and hornpipes and all kinds of language that we as non-country dancers could be introduced to.
Is Dusty Miller on this same CD, is that a more up-tempo type dance that we can sort of give an illustration?
You can, or so the Sky Air that you have there.
Well, I want it with Jacqueline then.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Give it a shot.
Well, let's give it a shot here. This is from the same CD called Celtic Dialogue with Laura Risk on the fiddle and Jacqueline Schwab on the piano. Both will be appearing on the concert featuring the chorale on New Year's Eve in Champaign. And my guest is the director of the chorale, Julie Beiler, here on Live and Local. So there you get a little bit more of the up-tempo dance feel. Although that was interesting how I found myself tapping my fingers in a sort of complicatedly rhythmic way and realized that's not all there. It's a lot of it's implied from what they were playing. A tune called Dusty Miller, a traditional Scottish tune, as arranged and performed by fiddler Laura Risk and pianist Jacqueline Schwab from their CD called Celtic Dialogue, which you can find on the Dorian label. And they'll be performing at the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign on New Year's Eve. The program called See You at the Virginia, a Folk Connection featuring the chorale, conducted by Julie Byler. We'll be hearing the chorale itself in a little bit. Julie wanted to hear a little bit of Gene Redpath, of course, who, as you said earlier, has become a good friend of yours. And I heard, I don't know how many years ago I first heard of her on various radio programs when I lived in Chicago. And I can't even tell you which ones now, but I fell in love with her sound. Bought a record of one of the numerous records she has of the songs of Robert Burns.
Yeah, she's a Burns specialist, really. It might have been Garrison Keillor's Prairie Home Companion. She's been on his
show.
She's
been on there.
Multiple times.
Warren might have played her, for all I know, on the Midnight Special.
And this is, I should say, this is Jean's 50th year. In showbiz, as we say. she came to this country November 15th, 1961, came to California to sing for a friend's wedding in exchange for a green card sponsorship, and soon discovered there was not much for her in California, went to New York, and ended up in hanging out with Bob Dylan, like in his flat, and Ramblin' Jack Elliott, and as it turns out, Bob said to her one night, why don't you come down? He had a gig at, in New York?
I don't know.
Hangout in the 60s.
Who knows?
Anyway, he said, come do one on my show. And so she sang there November 15th, and recording contract followed that. And she has been performing since then. So we're kind of kicking off her 50th year of living out of a suitcase, although she's given that up. Excuse me, long since.
Well, to a degree. I remember when she was here on the show with you a couple years ago, maybe. She sort of said she doesn't have a real home anymore. She has multiple homes. She stays with people like you, and she goes to New York, and she lives in Scotland for a while. And
that's true. I just guess her touring schedule is not quite as rigorous.
She at least gets places, and she can unpack that suitcase.
And can unpack, right? Yeah, she spends the summer and a good part of the fall in Scotland, and just finished a master class at the University of Edinburgh, where she did focus on Scottish, the oral traditions.
Well, let's hear her. I mean, speaking of Prairie Home Companion, I recognize a couple of these names as performers who not only have national reputations, but also they've showed up on Garrison's show. She's performing here with Alistair Fraser, who plays fiddle and viola, Jay Unger, who's been on there, fiddle and guitar, Abby Newton, cello, Cindy Cashdollar on the dobro, and she was at the Krannert on Guitar Festival this year, and bass Dick Niss, hope I'm saying his name right, it's K-N-I-S-S, and the tune is called Maggie, featuring vocalist Gene Redpath, who will be singing on the program with the chorale on New Year's Eve in Champaign. Gene Redpath, tune called Maggie, from her disc called Gene Redpath Leaving the Land, a collection of songs, Scottish and Western, and joined here by Alistair Fraser, fiddle, Jay Unger, fiddle, probably playing guitar there, Abby Newton, cello. I don't know if Cindy Cashdollar was on the dobro on that one. Not sure I heard a dobro, might have, and bassist Dick Niss. Gene Redpath will be, along with Laura Risk, who's a fiddler, and pianist Jacqueline Schwab, on a concert by The Chorale, their annual See You at the Virginia program on New Year's Eve, the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign. They're calling it this year a Folk Connection. And this is always important to say. Proceeds from the concert will be used to help fund the Chorale's Young Artist Scholarship Program, which is such a huge part of every season, both in the actual Young Artist Scholarship concert, but so many times you bring back performers who have won. And are you bringing anybody back for this concert?
For the New Year's Eve concert?
Yeah.
Not for New Year's Eve. We're full up New Year's
You're
Eve.
You're full up. Well, it sounds like plenty of people, yeah.
Women, but we will have the winners, of course, a winner or winners, perform at the Young Artist Scholarship concert, which this spring will be April 27, 28, and 29. That's the weekend of the festival. The concert is the 29th on a Sunday at McKinley. But we're inviting Craig Jessup back again to do a festival. We'll be singing the music of Randall Thompson and all American composers, Eric Whitaker, Stephen Paulus. So we're hoping that anybody who knows of a high school senior who's planning to continue on in music at the university level will turn them on to this program. Our applications are available. It is on the web, www.thechorale.org. You can call me and get an application. And it is indeed a big part of our program, not only for that particular concert, but calling people back in this past fall. We had Eric Koble back to play
flutist.
For us.
Mm-hmm.
Flutist, yes. And so it's great fun to hear the progress that these kids have made and to follow them as much as, 15 years. We're still keeping track of Elizabeth Treat, who's in New York City.
Amy Treat.
Amy Treat. Mm-hmm. We know her as Amy, but her...
Oh, is that her first name?
Yes, Elizabeth is on her resume.
And oh, yes.
On the 8x10 glossies, you know. So we keep in touch with her. She's been singing the role of Susanna in a kind of off... a community opera company. I try to stay in touch and let them know. Derek Manenforet, Eastern, just gave his senior recital and writes back and says, who's on your New Year's Eve concert and who
won? He's a wonderful pianist.
He is a wonderful pianist. We'll have him again before he goes off to some grad school.
Well, we've heard your guests. We should hear the chorale for a little bit here. This is from the concert you just gave in November. November 5th, the program called Our Spiritual Connection. And this is a setting of a hymn, A Fairest Lord Jesus, arranged here by Mark Hayes. It's the chorale that also includes their piano accompanist, Michael Hammer, and, of course, directed by Julie Beiler, my guest here on Live and Local.
Oh,
chorale always making a beautiful sound in the direction of Julie Byler. A familiar and beautiful hymn. I haven't heard that in so long, and it sounds wonderful in the arrangement by Mark Hayes from the concert that they just gave early in November on their annual series, and their next concert will be at the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign on New Year's Eve, the annual See You at the Virginia program, always a popular event, and including performances, of course, by the chorale and performances by the other musicians we have featured, pianist Jacqueline Schwab, vocalist Jean Redpath, and fiddler Laura Risk.
And I should say, too, Kevin, if I could, that we're going to continue the sing-along tradition.
Oh, yeah.
Even though Warren York is no longer with us, we'll honor him by wearing our red socks. And
yes, Warren York, the longtime operator, of, so to speak, of the Wurlitzer organ at the Virginia.
Indeed. The Wurlitzer's not quite ready to be reinstalled yet, so we'll have the Baldwin, the mighty Baldwin, sing along. And Eve Harwood's going to help me with the sing-along, so come ready to sing.
Absolutely.
And your seats are reserved, so call the box office and get your tickets.
And for more information, it's thechorale.org on both the tickets and also, as we mentioned earlier, the Young Artist Scholarship Program. Julie, thanks very much for joining us, as always.
It's always a pleasure, Kevin. Thank you.
And we'll go out in just a moment with another performance featuring fiddler Laura Risk. It's a setting of a tune called The Sky Air. And another one as well that I can't begin to pronounce. Our program today is made possible in part by support from the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting audiences to enjoy Krannert Uncorked, a weekly free wine tasting almost every Thursday at 5 p.m. in the lobby. More information is available at krannertcenter.com. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. We heard fiddler Laura Risk and colleagues. Sorry, I don't have the name of the rest of those performers. We sent that CD home with, we're about to send it home with Julie Byler, and I'm now in a different studio. And Laura Risk will be with the chorale, not performing with them, but performing on their concert on New Year's Eve in downtown Champaign. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. We have support for our show from The Music Shop, celebrating 50 years of service to music education. The Music Shop serves over 200 school music programs with band and orchestra instruments, a large sheet music department, and thousands of accessories at 27 East Market View Drive in Market View Plaza, Champaign, or at themusicshop.com. Well, we have a return engagement by a fellow who has numerous return engagements every year. Keith Harden was for a long, long time a fixture of the musical landscape here in Champaign-Urbana area, and he is currently residing in Nashville and is back, as he is every year, to do a number of gigs in our area and always give his annual Keithmas program, as he calls it, Keith Harden and Friends at the Iron Post in Urbana. That's going to be Friday night at 9 o'clock. But before that, on Thursday at the Clark Bar in Champaign, that starts at 6, and tonight in Rantoul at 8 o'clock at the TNT Lounge, and then he'll be performing on another of one of his friends' programs, George Faber, who also has an annual homecoming, his Christmas night show, also at the Iron Post, starting somewhere 8-ish or something like that, we don't have. In any event, Keith Harden, welcome back to Live and Local.
Thank you, Kevin.
So what's been happening for you lately in Nashville?
Well, a lot of the same thing, writing songs and recording and playing some songwriter nights. And that's sort of my late fall, winter activity. This summer I ventured out and played some blues festivals down in Mississippi and the King Biscuit Blues Festival in Helena, Arkansas, which is a pretty big festival. And so I decided to get out of Nashville a little bit and get back to some blues for the summer.
And well, you look healthy, so you must be feeding yourself.
Yeah, I eat. Thank you. I do eat.
Well, I always worry about musicians who go off to places like Nashville or New York or, you know, Los Angeles or wherever things are happening in their field. And I always hope that you'll actually make enough money to make ends meet. So you must be.
Yeah, I guess. I'm not losing as much. I'm not as losing as much money as I used to.
Well, that's always a good goal, too. Well, making music is what it's all about, so why don't you make a little bit for us? What did you bring?
Well, I've got some songs that I wrote that I put on a CD last year. I think I gave you guys a copy, but then I made a new version of it. I made an EP version and just picked six or seven of the songs that I performed the most. And I can't remember if I did this one last year. I didn't really want to repeat myself. But did I do one called Riding on a Bluebird?
My memory doesn't go back a year, Keith.
So
I'm hoping that our listeners, if you did, will either be happy to hear it again or they won't remember either. So Okay. Have at it.
Okay, this is a song all about those big yellow school buses that say they're called Bluebird. And
remember those well. They're
in the
still
old days,
around.
They're still around. In the old days, they used to be blue. But anyway, this is a song about that stuff called Riding on a Bluebird. Riding on a bluebird, going off to school. Gonna make some friends, learn how to be cool. I'm gonna study history, learn about the past. Probably get my first kiss after Spanish class. Then I'm gonna grow up, find some grown-up love, have a couple kids. When the right time comes, I'll take them down to the corner, choke back some tears, put them on a bluebird, get them out of here. Riding on a bluebird, big yellow and black, takes kids away, then it brings them back. Right around 3:30, my freedom is gone, but I can't complain, at least I'm not alone. Maybe someday they'll go gray. But for now, it's only 7 miles, 12 years of faith in the system. I hope that bluebird keeps them safe and sound. I hope that bluebird keeps them safe and sound. That's just one verse, but you get the idea.
I don't think you did that one.
I didn't do that one. Okay.
I don't think so. I mean, because it really grabbed me. It sent me back to thinking, now, how did I feel when I was on the school bus? It sounds like when you were on the school bus, you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I liked.
I mean, assuming school. This was an accurate.
I did. I liked school when I was a kid.
All of it.
Yeah, sure. I loved it. It's funny.
So at 3:30, your freedom was over. A lot of other kids, they feel at 3:30, oh, finally, freedom. You had a different point of view, sounds like.
Well, no, sort of halfway through the verse, it's like, then I'm going to grow up and have some kids and then take them down to the corner, choke back some tears.
Oh, okay.
So like at 3:30, when the kids come back home, then your freedom is gone.
Oh, your freedom
so
as
it's
a
like,
parent.
There's a big passage of time between the first verse and then the refrain. And then the whole second verse is about the grandparent thing and all that. So, but I didn't want to do like a 5-minute song. I just wanted to give you a little taste.
Well, it was a nice taste. It was a very pleasant taste. I like that song. I like the accompaniment. I like the sentiment. I like that I can understand everything you say.
Oh, well, thanks.
Which doesn't always happen with singer-songwriters, I've noticed. Yeah, there's been many where one of my pet peeves is listen to it seems to be kind of a contemporary sound among the younger set where you distort your diction in such a way that it's impossible to know what were those songs that you spent all that time, what were those words you spent all that time crafting. And you don't have that issue, Keith, so I'm glad to know that.
Maybe that's partly the influence of being around songwriters in Nashville, because it's a lot of it is about the words.
Yeah.
I mean, it is about the music and the chords, but you got to really make sure they hear the words, because they're just as important. You know, like when somebody's singing a blues or rocking out, you know, sometimes the music can kind of take over and you might not know what Mick Jagger or Robert Plant said on a Stones song or a Zeppelin song. You always wonder, like, what did he say? But when you listen to a John Prine song, you know exactly what he said always, because he's just the lyrics, you know.
Or even going back to Bob Dylan and others like him, where it may not have been the prettiest voice in the world, to say the least, but it was really all about what they were saying.
Right.
And that's the big influence, I guess, of folks like that.
Yeah, Dylan, you could always hear every word. Definitely every word.
Do you think that your songwriting and delivery of your songs has changed in other ways since you've been in Nashville? And if so, how?
Yeah, I'd say it's branched out a little bit. You know, there's the basic tree and the same roots, but I've grown a few new branches in the sense of co-writing with quite a few different writers, and so I pick up a little of their influence. And
what do you think are some of those new branches?
Well, I've always liked country music ever since I was a young kid, but I always felt like it was square until I got older, and then now I realize there's a lot of it that's really, really nice and really cool and really heartfelt. And you know, it was easy to make fun of all the old country music stars like Conway Twitty and George Jones, but now I love that music.
Well,
I don't know why it was. It was easy to make fun of it when you were like a hip rock and roller.
Well, it's also easy to make fun of a guy whose name is Conway Twitty.
There's that too,
and there's more names
right
like that out there. But so, do you think if you thought it was square way back when? Now that you're older, do you think you've picked up some of the elements or adapted some of the elements that you used to think were square, or have you picked up some of the elements that maybe you thought were less square and added them to your sound?
Well, just the feeling, the honesty behind a lot of country music, like when you hear Loretta Lynn sing Coal Miner's Daughter, she is that person.
Mm.
And so I would make fun of it when I was, 16 years old, because I liked Jimi Hendrix and the Beatles and the Stones. But now, one of the coolest guys there is, Jack White from the White Stripes, moved to Nashville, and he produced an album by Loretta Lynn. So it's like all made this full circle. And there's more of an appreciation of the Americana roots of music among quote-unquote hip musicians.
I've never been a big listener to country music myself, except when I'm traveling somewhere, driving in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if part of the appeal of, at least to me anyway, I haven't thought about this very much, is a little bit of what you're describing, where there's an emotional quality, there's often a story that can absorb you if you have nothing but to do but drive in a car. So this is going to, it's going to appeal more than other kinds of music maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just so many different branches of that musical tree that you can appreciate. I don't listen to country very much, but now I can appreciate it more than I used to just being around so much of it in Nashville. It's just kind of like in the air.
Yeah, well, And probably in the water too, and everything else that you breathe and eat and drink when you're there. What else did you bring for us today?
Well, I've got I've got two or three different things. I've got let's see here what we got.
Entirely your choice.
Okay. Let me do this other song that's on my CD called Hickory Tree. I can't remember if I did this one last year or not either, but I wrote this with a friend of mine who's a songwriter named Ty Brando. And this is on my Calico Girl CD, which I'll leave a copy for you. This might maybe has a little bit of a... Imagine if Neil Young were to go to the Appalachian Mountains and live there for a while. He might write a song like this. Tell me that you love me and your love is true. Tell me, do you love me like I love you? Love I've got is the marrying kind. Love me like that till the end of time. The end of time. Grandma was young when she was wed. She's old enough is what Grandpa said. So you're old enough, girl, to marry me beneath the boughs of a Tennessee tree, the hickory tree. Hickory tree. Our love will be as strong and tall as the hickory tree. Our love will be, our love will be strong and tall as the hickory tree. Our love will be, our love will be. Gray in my hair ain't going away. You'll be silver like me someday. Well, all we really have is a sliver of time. I'm making my move to make you mine. To make you mine. Strong and tall as the hickory tree, our love will be, our love will be. That's an abbreviated version as well.
You know, you said that was sort of as if Neil Young, you know, got transplanted to the Appalachian Mountains or something like that. Do you ever set out to write a song thinking, I'm going to channel Neil Young, or I'm going to make something that sounds Appalachian, or do you just start to write a song and it turns out how it turns out?
Well, actually, my friend Ty Brando brought this in and had a couple of verses, and he was doing it in a major key, kind of like, tell me that you love me and your love is true. Tell me you love me like I love you. And I said, Ty,
that's a whole other song.
I said, Ty, do you realize you're ripping off John Denver? And he goes, you know, thank God I'm a country boy. And he goes, no, I didn't realize I was ripping that off. I said, so we got to totally retool this. I said, so I fooled around with it for about 5 minutes. And I said, let's make it a minor key.
Let's rip off Neil Young instead.
Let's throw an odd measure. No, let's throw an odd measure in there. The Neil Young came because I changed the key from G to D minor, and so my voice goes up into this register where people have for years have said that when I sing in that register, it has a Neil quality. And so whatever, you know, it's, but instead of like, tell me that you love me, singing in full voice, I sort of sing a softer, so tell me that you love me and you love, without having to push. And so it comes out, that's the way Neil sings a lot, is that way. So anyway, one more point. Then I said, let's do something to shake it up. I said, let's make the words follow, let's make the chord pattern change with the words. So there's, in this song, it's strange, there's a 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. So there's a measure of 3 and a measure of 4, and I didn't even realize I did that until I sat down and analyzed it later. And then the rest of the song's in 4-4. But it's like people listen to it, they go, what's going on there? You know, and
well, it keeps you off base just a little bit and helps sustain interest.
Yeah. But a lot of the Appalachian music will have an extra measure on something. And blues will do that sometimes too. Like a quick example of, let's see. I'm rolling and tumbling. I cried the whole night long. Well, I'm rolling. You know, it's like instead of being a 12 bar, it ends up being maybe a 15 bar structure. And I don't know the reason they do it. Maybe so they can catch their breath, or who knows. But there's a lot of real quirky things like that in Appalachian and in folk and blues.
Do you know the blues singer guitarist? I think it's I'm not sure I'm going to get the name right. He was at the Krannert Guitar Festival this past September. Alvin Singleton. That doesn't sound like the right name. I should have a reference here, but I kept getting thrown off by almost every one of his songs. I wonder if it was something similar where I'd be tapping my foot and then I'd have to skip a beat and then tap my foot and have to skip again. And I wonder if that's some of what was going on there.
Yeah, that's a lot of what it is. And you think, wow, they just made a mistake. They left out a beat, but they do it the same way every time.
Yeah.
That a lot of the hill country blues that comes out of northern Mississippi is a little bit different than the Delta blues. It's got some of the Delta blues influence, which is Delta is a very hard sound, and it's
Alvin Youngblood Hart. That's
Alvin Youngblood Hart, right? He's a master of
Alvin
many different styles.
Another kind of composer.
Yeah, he's a master of many different styles of blues, and he's studied it and knows he knows Leadbelly's style, and he knows all of the old Delta master styles. But yeah, there's a It's deceptively simple, a lot of that stuff. And then you sit there and you try to play it and you go, what are they doing? They're dropping a beat.
Yeah. And if you depend on a regular beat, I've always been interested in certain classical pieces where, you know, you listen to them and something similar happens where you think this is in 3/4 time and you realize, well, maybe it's not. Or maybe the downbeat starts here and then later you think, well, maybe it doesn't. And if I ever go to conduct the piece and see what it is on the page, like music of Brahms, I've often been thrown that the downbeat is not where I thought it was. It's exactly a beat or two beats later, and then you think the piece whole in a whole different way. But it doesn't mean the listener's ever going to hear it that way.
To my understanding, a lot of classical music, well, some of it is they've heard folk tunes, and then they'll take it and then develop on it and change it around and stuff. And was it Bartók that did that a lot?
He did that a lot, yeah.
And so I just think that's awesome. I mean, it's like Gershwin taking, some bluesy, jazzy stuff, like what Louis Armstrong would do, and then just turn it into an incredible piece of music.
Classicalize it, so to
speak.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I want to hear another song from you in just a minute. I want to mention a couple other events people can go out and see here in our listening area. Yesterday we had Chip McNeil on. His quartet's going to be playing at the Iron Post tonight at 7. Of course, you're at Keith Harden, my guest, is at TNT Lounge in Rantoul tonight at 8. Surreal Deal play the blues at DR Diggers in Champaign tonight at 9. Ed Anderson and Chicago Farmer are at Sixth Strings Club in Bloomington this evening at 7 o'clock. The Kim Beckett Jazz Duo are at the Iron Post tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. Keith will be at the Clark Bar in Champaign tomorrow evening at 6. It's the B-Mant Country Opry's Christmas show Friday evening at 8 o'clock. Boneyard Jazz Quintet at the Iron Post in Urbana this Friday evening at 5. The Hen House Prowlers, wonderful bluegrass band, are at Six Strings in Bloomington Friday evening at 8:30. Lamont Parsons Experiment at Bouvon's in Urbana Friday evening at 6. And Keith Harden and Friends giving the annual Keithmas program at the Iron Post in Urbana Friday night at 9 o'clock. Our show today on Live and Locals made possible with support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits. For the serious collector to the first-time buyer, wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information available at thecorkscrew.com. And this is 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR, classical music, and more for Central Illinois. WYLL, of course, a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. Keith, it's wonderful to have you back. Look forward to having you in a year or less if you come back through again. And what do you want to take us out with?
Well, if I'm invited back for this summer, I'm coming back in June to do a couple of blues gigs because everybody gets into the blues in the summer. And I was thinking I would do a blues song today, but then I thought maybe I'll do a Christmas song instead. Well, what do you think would be better? Maybe a Christmas song?
Sure. Why not? It's Christmas time.
Okay. Well, this blends a little bit of the subject matter that we were talking about with country music and Christmas music. And this is in no way reaches the emotional intensity of Tammy Wynette, who's just fantastic. But I'll do a sort of just a short version of this too. I don't even need to tell you what it is because you'll know right away. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. And the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are low and the baby awakes. A little Lord Jesus, no crying. Look down from the sky and stay by my side till the morning is nine. Another shortened version.